About 16 years ago, my brother and I, Gary, we were standing outside the little classroom. I don't know what that is, cradle roll or whatever, but we were standing out there, and it was Cheryl Carlson's class, but Cheryl wasn't there yet because we were a little early. And there was a little boy standing there trying to get in. And so Gary and I were talking to him, and we said, through the course of the conversation, we said, "Well, you could probably teach this class." And he looked at us and he held his hand up. He goes, "You see that hand?" He goes, "That hand's not big enough to teach this class." Anyways, that was Ben Ewald. And today you're in for a treat. Ben's going to come and speak to us. Ben is he's 18. He's old enough to vote and go off to war now. And Ben, is still trying to figure out exactly what he wants to do. But one of the things that he's thinking strongly about is going to AIM, Adventures and Missions, and get into the ministry. So let's listen to what Ben has to say today.
Listen, man. Mic check. What? Is it off? Is it? Mic check. Hello? 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 Is it not working? Is it turned on? Hello? 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 Yeah, let's just use it.
Hello? Hey, what's up? listen, man, I don't know if I can do this.
You'll be fine. There's only a few people out there.
Only a few? You sure about that?
Yeah, man, you trust me.
Okay, man, I trust you. I trust you. Okay, here we go. You said there was only a few.
I was just trying to make you feel better.
Well, I got bad news for you, my friend.
Listen, time's up. You gotta get out there.
Wait, wait, wait. Hold on. No. No. Please. Oh, hey. What's up? I didn't see you there. I'm not terrified. You're terrified. What are you talking about? This is normal.
This thing's not working, so.
Here, can you turn this on?
Let me turn this off real quick.
Anyways, hey. So if you don't know me, as he said, my name is Ben Ewald, son of Eddie and Cindy Ewald, over there somewhere. And I will be your lesson giver for today. Hope you brought your teenage boy survival kit for this, because you're going to need it. Things in that kit include, but are not limited to, punk rock, video games, acne medicine, and deodorant that you specifically chose not to put on. other side effects may include your car being about 30 years old and your room looking like it got hit by a tornado while also smelling like you left an entire block of gorgonzola cheese under the futon you got from your uncle 5 years ago. It's all a part of the experience, let me just tell you. Well, anyways. Let me get on with this here. I'm going to start out by telling you guys a story. I know you guys like stories. Some of you have already heard this one. It only happened a little while ago, but it happened, I don't know, a month or two ago. I was on my way back from the gym. It was about 7:30 in the morning, and I was right here by the post office, sitting in that intersection going that direction, whatever direction that is. And I'm in the middle lane, waiting for the light to turn green, like a normal person. Eventually, it turns green, and I press on the gas pedal to go forward, because I can drive now. That's weird. That's scary. That was right about the time my car decided it was too old for this, and that it wanted to take a nap, just like my dad. So, all I know is that it shut off, and it wasn't gonna move. So here I am, stuck in the middle lane on a green light with a dead car. That's not good. That's not something I want to be a part of. Nevertheless, I had to do something. So I waited until the light was red and then proceeded to get out of my car and push it out of the road, because it wasn't going anywhere any other way. So people watched as I turned the wheel to the right, because there's no more power steering, and then push it right out of the main road and onto the little side road in between the post office and the school over there. So my car's out of the way, it's on the side of the road, we're all fine, and I'm just like, okay. Whew. I let go of the car, and I'm like, take a sigh of relief. Okay, I got it out of the road. And then I realized the car kept going without me. I'm on a hill. So now I'm like running towards my car. I open the door and I can't step into it because it's getting too fast and I'm just so I run and jump into the car and that hurt. And so that was not a good situation. This thing's been open this whole time. And I'm able to pilot the car around the corner and just, it's finally on the side of the road. It's not on a hill. It's not gonna roll anywhere. We're good. Thankfully, my car was okay. It was just a bad battery terminal. But talk about a sticky situation, am I right? I mean, oh, my goodness. Everything was going along just fine, like normal, and now I was stuck in a situation wondering what to do. Me and my family had another situation like this 2 years ago, or a little over 2 years ago, and a lot of you guys know this one as well, but we were in the middle of nowhere, Arizona, approaching Phoenix on our way back to Ventura. And that was when a huge rock decided it didn't like our car anymore, or maybe it just didn't like it in the first place, I don't know. What I know is that we ran into this giant rock going like 50 miles an hour, and we slide off to the side of the road. There's steam billowing out of the hood, and both right tires are flat, so we're stuck. Also, did I mention it was almost 10 o'clock at night, 40 degrees outside, raining, with three cats in the car, and no cell phone service. Yeah, talk about a situation I want to be in. Obviously, we ended up fine, praise God for that. And we did that, the way we did that was by asking for help. We had some guy from like Colorado or something pull up, and he had cell phone service, so we were able to call for 911, and then we got help. The story's a lot longer than that, but it was fine. I'm alive. See, I'm right here. So anyways, now notice something here. In both situations, I or we asked for help. When my car was broke down, I called my dad. I don't know what to do. We ran into a rock. We flagged down someone from Colorado. I don't remember his name. In both scenarios, we asked for help because it would be really hard, if not downright impossible, to fix these situations ourselves. Which is interesting, because that is the type of situation I'm usually in when I finally ask for help. I think a lot of us do that. We wait until our situation is really difficult to ask for help. Now, sometimes we don't even ever ask for help at all, and we're just stuck there suffering through what would have been a lot easier of a situation had we asked for help. Let me use an example. You're moving out of your parents' basement because you're 45 years old and you're ready to take on life. And you have two choices: ask for help or don't ask for help. If you don't ask for help, you have to package every box and lift every single thing out of the basement, carry it up the stairs and out to your 1998 Toyota Corolla yourself, and then proceed to take 35 trips from your old place to your new place because you can only put so much stuff in a single Corolla. But if you do ask for help, you have five buddies come over with their cars or trucks or whatever. You all package, take everything, and after like two or three trips, you're done. You'll go get Taco Bell or something. You're done. So obviously, most of us would ask for help when moving, but when it comes to, say, those bills that we're freaking out about because we don't know if we can pay them, or that homework we're struggling on so much, that job that's really stressful, that is probably making you miserable, I would assume, or maybe someone you knew passed away recently and you don't know what to think. These are all just examples of situations when we could, and probably should, ask for help, but we usually don't. As a lot of you know, in Proverbs 27, verse 17, it reads, "As iron sharpens iron, one person sharpens another." Humans are not made to live their lives alone. We sharpen each other. We build each other up. We have advice for each other. We have gifts that we can help each other with. In Romans, Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, it says this: "In grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you the leadership ability, take responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. We use our gifts to help each other. That's why it's called the body of Christ. Not the organization or the small group of Christ. The body of Christ. We're not just a group of people that hang out on Sundays every now and then. We're a group that is a part of the same body. We're supposed to talk about our struggles. We're supposed to sharpen each other. We're supposed to help each other. People go every day living in misery because they don't want to tell anybody about the struggles. People who are alcoholics, drug abusers, people who are being abused, people who have anger issues, these people will live in misery because they don't want people to know. They don't want people to know about their struggles. They say things like, they'll think I'm weird or they'll think I'm crazy. You want to know what I'll think? I'll think, how can I help this person? I'll be like someone from McDonald's, like, hi, my name is Ben, how may I help you? Because seriously, I don't care about the fact that you are struggling or what or what you've done. What I do care about is making you better, helping you. If you only knew the stories of the people in this room, if you only knew the things people have done, you wouldn't feel so bad. The truth is, we've all either messed up, are messing up right now, or gonna mess up someday. It's just the truth. And we've all gone through or dealt with addictions. We've all been through hard times. We've all been through and made big mistakes. Mistakes that are so bad we would never want anyone to ever find out about what we've done. We've all done it. So if you have some kind of secret thing that you're carrying around like chains, the body of Christ has been there with you before. Did you ever read a story in the Bible where Jesus walked up to some guy in the middle of the forest and saw him singing Amazing Grace with squirrels and an anteater, and he's like, keep it up, dude, you're doing great. No, you never read that, because that didn't happen. Never does he ever talk about how being by ourselves all the time is a good thing. If we isolate ourselves, we can't be sharpened, we can't be lifted up, and we can't be helped. We just sit there, trudging through life like it's mud, walking around carrying all this weight on our shoulders just because you don't want me to know? Just because you don't want your friends to know? That's the thing. You don't have to tell the whole church that you're struggling. Sure, that would be preferred because we would all like to help. But you don't need to do that. You can just talk to one of your close friends or someone who's gone through what you're going through. You don't have to come up to the front and confess your sins like a cult or something. What you need to do is talk to God and talk to the body of Christ. Us. Like I said, not all of us necessarily, but at least one, because I speak from experience when I say that you can't do it on your own. My friend Mike, that I know from Mission Church, uses self-help books as an example, because if self could help, you wouldn't need a book telling you how. My friend that some of you know, Brandon Dial from YBC, that's where I met him. I think he goes to Hanford Church of Christ now. Anyways, he said it like this at the Porterville Youth Rally. God's light shines through our deepest scars, but light can't shine through a scar that's covered up. You got to let it out. You got to tell someone. You got to get help. And the body of Christ will help you. Whether you're just moving a couple blocks down the street or straight up addicted to drugs, it doesn't matter. God will help you. I will help you. We'll all help you. What was I doing? Now, you don't just want to be some kind of freeloader and just take all the time without giving anything. Once you take, you should then give. Once you've been helped, you realize how amazing it is. So you should do the same, especially if you were going through something and got helped through it. So if I was addicted to drugs or had some kind of huge problem like that, I would go to somebody who went through a drug addiction for help. If you went through something like that, well, now's your chance to help others. It's a balance of the body of Christ. It's one big cycle of taking and giving, being helped and helping. So we can all be lifted up, and we can be the best people we can for God, who sacrificed his son on a cross for us. Remember, though, guys, I'm not just talking about people with big issues. I'm also talking about with small little issues as well. I hate to throw my dad under the bus here. I've already kind of done that. But second time, my dad has a case of not asking for help when he probably should have. Quite a few years ago, our car was having issues, and we needed to replace some stuff on the engine, which included things like the timing belt and the water pump, all that stuff that most people don't even know what it is, which required removing engine mounts and doing all this crazy stuff that I don't even know if he'd ever done it before, but it's complicated. It's complicated stuff, at least for people like me. I don't know about Chris, but he's different. So at the beginning, I tell my dad, hey, you should probably talk to somebody who knows exactly what they're doing to help you with this. He didn't take my advice until after about a week of the car sitting broken in the garage passed by. And then he asked for help. And on the day, the day that he had a friend come over and help him, the car was basically fixed and all the problems were solved. My dad decided to wait until his car was sitting in the garage broken for a week to finally ask for help. You think he would have gotten help if he asked on the first day? Because I think so. Now, no offense to my dad. I do stuff like this all the time, and I know he was just trying to be nice and not inconvenience people. I understand that. I just thought this is too perfect of an example. I'm sorry, Dad, I swear. Anyways, don't wait to ask for help. The worst people can do is say no, so why make excuses? Just ask before it gets too difficult. There are tons of people in this church alone, that can help you with whatever you're dealing with. For example, you need help with your car? Ask Brent, wherever he is. He's really good with cars. You need help with doing woodworking or with doing any kind of carpenter work? Vern, he's way over there. Ask him. If you need help procrastinating and doing things too slowly, ask me. I'm an expert. You get the point. We are meant to be together. We are meant to help each other, so why not ask? And why not help others? It's the way the body of Christ is meant to be. I want to stress how you shouldn't be a freeloader, though. Like I said, you can't just take all the time or for whatever you want to do. Taking advantage of people is not cool and not what the body of Christ is for. Helping my dad fix his car because he has no idea what he's doing, okay, I can see that. Having someone come fix your car when you could easily do it yourself but you're just lazy, that's wrong. There's a line between asking for help responsibly and being lazy and taking advantage of people. And you gotta see that line. You don't want to ask too little. You don't want to ask too much. Like I said, there's a balance. Now, anyways, before I end here, this has been kind of short, so I apologize. I wanted to say, you're not alone. A life with Christ is a life with the body of Christ. A life with you, me, and Doug. So don't live your life like it's a grudge match between you and the world. Live life knowing that you've got God and the body of Christ around you and with you all the time, and that we're willing to help you every step of the way. God is willing to help you every step of the way. You're not Superman. None of us are. Something they say over at Mission is, if you think you're perfect, you're the most messed up person in the room. Stop lying to yourself that you're fine and take off the unnecessarily heavy chains that come with living your life alone. You're not going to be outcast when you tell people what you're dealing with or what you've done, and you're not going to fix it yourself. So pray about it, and join into the helping cycle that is the body of Christ. If you need help, talk to somebody about it. If you want, you can come talk to me as we stand, as we sing this song.